Hello, this is Pete Beck III with ThirdPeter.com. Welcome to today's podcast, which is entitled, Disunity Can Be a Sign That God Is at Work. Unity is important in the church, family, nation, or really any group, but disunity often, maybe always, accompanies any important new activity or truth coming from God. When Jesus presented himself to Israel as their long-awaited Messiah, he attracted the malevolent criticism of those who held power and benefited from maintaining the status quo. He polarized the community by forcing people to make a decision to be either for him or against him. So I'll read from John 7:12, which says, "There was a lot of grumbling about him, Jesus, among the crowds. Some argued, 'He's a good man,' but others said, 'He's nothing but a fraud who deceives people.'" That's the New Living Translation. And then in John 7:43, it says, "So a division occurred in the crowd because of him." That's the New American Standard Bible. Those who tried to hold to a middle ground to avoid being caught up in the controversy were either uninformed, uncaring, or cowardly. Whenever God is doing something important, it brings about a crisis of faith in those who witness it. Those whose hearts are open receive God's truth with joy. The devil hates God and truth with a passion, and anyone who is still under his influence will offer vehement resistance. The lukewarm will not care because they refuse to be players on the grand stage of life. Every great movement is carried out by a relatively small percentage of people who passionately believe. They will be resisted by those who ardently disbelieve, while the uninvolved watch the drama unfold. The psalmist taught that unity carries a blessing. In Psalm 133:1, it says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity." New American Standard Bible. Jesus taught on its importance too in John 17:22 through 23, which reads, "The glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me." New American Standard Bible. Our unity as believers is based on what God has done for his church in Christ. He has taken Jew and Gentile, men and women, slave and free, and rich and poor from all races and nations and fashioned us into one new man. Ephesians 2:15. We who believe are now part of the body of Christ. Our unity in the Spirit is already accomplished. Our challenge is to believe and act in accordance with this great truth. However, unity in the Spirit does not mean that we must refrain from proclaiming truth that some may find divisive. Jesus and truth have always produced contention because not everyone is willing to receive them. The gospel is often passionately rejected by some who later become believers. That was certainly the case with the Apostle Paul. Others never see the light and remain opposed for life. The early church was racked with disunity from the start in the matter of grace versus the law. The Judaizers insisted that Gentile believers keep the law of Moses, including circumcision. But Paul and company stood their ground, insisting the opposite in the face of great hostility. Though the matter was officially settled at the Jerusalem conference, this controversy still exists. Truth will always be resisted by those who do not understand or receive it. When God restored the truth regarding believers' baptism during the Reformation, both Catholics and Protestants violently opposed the Anabaptists who held to this new and divisive doctrine. Some of those brave men and women died rather than be moved away from this revelation from God. Today, almost everyone in the churches with whom I fellowship believe this doctrine. The baptism in the Spirit was restored in the early 20th century, but not without controversy that still exists. When I was first baptized in the Spirit in 1971, the dominant campus ministry where I attended university opposed our little charismatic groups meeting by ourselves. They wanted us to join them to preserve unity. But at what cost to what God was doing in our midst? We were trying to grow in our experience and use of the gifts of the Spirit. But if we only met with the larger group, the Spirit would be quenched by those who disbelieved. Many times, a call to unity is an attempt to silence and control the opposition. Unity between opposing factions cannot happen unless liberty of belief and practice is granted. When my dad launched his home meeting in the early 1970s, many Catholics attended, including nuns. After a while, the local Catholic Church tried to rein in what he was doing by insisting that the meeting had to be accompanied by a Mass. My father refused to comply with this attempt to quench the freedom of the Spirit. Eventually, we departed from the Catholic Church in pursuit of freedom to practice the truth of God's Word. Where there is no unity regarding truth, there can be no unity in practice or assemblage. Interestingly, Paul wrote that disunity is sometimes God's way of revealing those who are approved by God. 1 Corinthians 11:19 says this, "For there must also be factions among you, so that those who are approved may become evident among you." New American Standard Bible. Martin Luther did not set out to depart from the Catholic Church. His intention was to reform it, but that was not possible because the Catholic leaders wanted none of it. They wanted to quash the revolt and kill its leader. This is exactly what our Lord's enemies tried to do with him. But they failed, as did Luther's opponents. Satan and unredeemed humanity will always rebel against and try to subvert what God is doing. Sometimes even God's people push back because of our natural human propensity to resist change. The old established way of seeing and doing things always seems better. Sadly, any new move of God is usually resisted by those who experienced the previous one. Jesus said it like this in Luke 5:38 and 39. But new wine must be put into fresh wineskins, and no one, after drinking old wine, wishes for the new, for he says the old is good enough. New American Standard Bible. St. Augustine is credited with saying, quote, "In essentials, unity, in non-essentials, liberty, in all things, charity." Our Lord does not want us to allow our stand for truth to snuff out our love towards those in opposition. Jesus said to love our enemies, including those who oppose God and truth. However, we are never to back down from our stand for truth because of pushback from those who do not understand or receive it. If the truth in question is non-essential to salvation, we can agree to disagree, but we cannot abandon our convictions for the sake of a false kind of unity. Any call to unity that asks us to lay down strongly held convictions is just a veiled form of oppression. Thank you for listening, and God bless you.